Hospitality and humble pie. Who doesn't like pie, right? Yeah. All right, Genesis. Last week we talked that Sarai became Sarah. And if you know Hebrew, Sarai means princess, and Sarah means princess. Now, I don't know what, if you're a Hebrew language expert, you probably know the difference of what that H means in the name. I don't, so forgive me, but Sarai becomes Sarah. It's easier to say. We're used to saying Sarah more than we are Sarai. So anyhow, we know that at the end of chapter 17, that Abraham was obedient and was immediately that same day that God told him to be, he was circumcised, his son was circumcised, and the men, his servants, everyone that was in his household, the men were circumcised. His obedience was quick, and his obedience was direct. He didn't waffle around. He didn't say, oh, we'll get around to it later when it's more convenient. He did it that day. And that's important for us to understand and to realize that we need to respond to God when he tells us to do something. We need to respond now, not when we think it's convenient for us. We know that Hagar, back in chapter 16, was the God who sees me. She is the only person in the Bible that is said to have given God a name. But she was not used to a God seeing her. She was used to worshiping the gods in Egypt that were dead and dumb and deaf and all, you know, they couldn't speak or anything. But this God saw her where she was at in her life and the needs that she had and the trouble and the turmoil that she was going through. And Abraham in chapter 17, verse 20 says that God is the God who heard him. Even though Ishmael was not going to be the son of the covenant, that was going to go to Isaac, but God still listened to Abraham and gave Ishmael a blessing. So God is the God who sees me, and God is the God who hears me. And that can be very comforting, very encouraging, that he does. But at the same time, if we're doing wrong, it's kind of like, you know, when you're speeding down the road and the kids say, Dad, there's a cop. Well, if you're obeying the speed limit, you don't have to worry about the cop. The cop's there to protect you and keep you safe. If you're breaking the law, he's there to nail you, and yeah, you need to be concerned. But what a blessing it is that we have a God who sees us and we have a God who hears us. Turn with me to the book of John, if you would. Yes, we're still in Genesis, but we're going to start in John today. John chapter 13. Verses 34 and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me, and he who loves me shall be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will disclose myself to him. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's, who sent me. Chapter 15, verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. Verse 17. This I command you, that you love one another. I think you probably get the point. How do we show Jesus that we love him? Obey his commandments. Obey his word. And that's what Abraham did with the circumcision of his family. As a sign of the covenant, that as the presence of God went between the ram and the heifer. I'm forgetting the first one. I always forget one. It's always a different one, too. It's never the same one. The ram, the heifer, and the... Somebody help me. Goat. Thank you. And as the presence of the Lord went through that to confirm that the covenant was a done deal and that it was all on God's part, God loved us and he sent his son for us. And the way we show him that we love him is that we obey him. Abraham loved the Lord and had in that communion, in that relationship, obeyed God. That's how we know Abraham loved God. Back to Genesis chapter 18. Abraham communed with God in a way that the world doesn't. Those that don't know God, those that don't have that relationship with God, don't have the privilege of experiencing the relationship with God and the benefits that go with it and the eternality of it. As we look at Genesis chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, I'm going to read verses 1 through 8. We'll go over it. And then I'll read 9 through 14 and we'll go over that. Now the Lord appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre while he was sitting at the tent door in the heat of the day. And when he lifted up his eyes and he looked, behold, three men were standing opposite him. And when he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them and bowed himself to the earth and said, My Lord, if now I have found favor in your sight, please do not pass your servant by. Please let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will bring a piece of bread that you may refresh yourselves. After that you may go on, since you have visited your servant. And they said, So do as you have said. So Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah and said, Quickly prepare 3 measures of fine flour, knead it, and make bread cakes. Abram also ran to the herd, and he took a tender and choice calf and gave it to the servant, and he hurried to prepare it. And he took curds and milk and the calf which he had prepared and placed it before them, and he was standing by them under the tree as they ate. What a picture, huh? Here in the heat of the day, Abraham is taking a rest. He's at the door of his tent. And he looks up. Behold, 3 men. And he runs and he bows face down. And Moses starts in verse 1 there. Moses is the author in writing this. And he says, Now when the Lord appeared to him, and it's very obvious that the author, Moses, knows that one of them was the Lord. But when, and if you ever... When I laugh, many years ago, probably 20 or so, maybe 30, when we would visit Beth's folks, her dad would sit on the couch and read, and he liked to read, but it was, you know, it was one of these, and he got a lot of siestas in along with the reading, and I used to laugh at him, and guess what, I'm at that age where I'm sitting and I read, and it's easy to do, just to, you know, close the eyes and kind of get the picture that's what Abraham's doing here. He's 99 years old. He's an old feller. And he's kind of, you know, in the heat of the day, he doesn't want to exert a lot of energy, doesn't want to do too much. He's just resting. But when he lifts up, he sees three men. And what does he do? He didn't lollygag or diffy daff, okay? I'm doing that a little more as I'm getting older. I lollygag a little more than I should sometimes. But he doesn't do that here. He runs from the tent door to meet them. Now, at 99, be careful, Abraham. Be careful. Don't hurt yourself. But he ran from the tent door to meet them, and he bows. And he is immediately hospitable to them. He is immediately looking out for their needs. He said, "What can I do? You know, what can I do to make your trip better, more enjoyable, more relaxing? It's the heat of the day. Why are these guys out walking in the heat of the day? Come in. Let me help you rest. Let me prepare something for you. A little water for your feet." And I think it was J. Vernon McGee that was talking about how he would love to go barefoot year-round, but if only he lived in Hawaii. I mean, obviously, he's home with the Lord now, so. But I said, I like that idea. I hate shoes and socks. I'd love to go barefoot. But these guys are walking, and it's hot, and it's dusty, and how good would cold water feel on your feet? Just to wash your feet and to relax and to be cooled. And so Abram's doing everything that he can to be hospitable to these people. He's trying to make them comfortable. So he had run to them and he says, "Let me bring water for your feet. Rest under the tree. I'm gonna prepare some food for you that you may refresh yourselves." And it's interesting, and not a lot to it, but just to say, "And they said, so do as you have said." They being all three of them. At this point, one isn't standing out. Abraham isn't addressing one as Lord and Savior. He said, "Lord," as to the three of them. I'm sorry, I'm losing my thought of trail here. That they were standing opposite. Just that he said to all three of them, "Come and rest here." So they said, "Go ahead, do it is what you're going to do." So Abraham hurried to the tent, and he said to Sarah, quickly, verse 7 there says, he ran to the herd, and then at the end of 7, he hurried to prepare it. He was quick about his task, just as at the end of chapter 17 when he was quick to be obedient to the Lord. Here he is quick to be hospitable to his guests. How we ought to be. He's wanting to get these things together for them to meet their needs. And when he says to Sarah, "Quickly prepare 3 measures of fine flour, knead it, and make bread cakes," he was a brave man. I'm not going to walk into my wife's kitchen and tell her how to get it ready, all right? That's her business. And if anybody wants to enjoy it, we're going to let her do it, okay? But the one thing I want to point out, he says, prepare 3 measures of fine flour. How many of you like a dinner roll with your dinner if you're having, yeah. Some mashed potatoes and gravy and some meat. You got to have dinner rolls. She told him to prepare 20 quarts of fine flour. That's a lot of dinner rolls. He wants to be generous to his guests. And he tells her, don't get the flour that you use every day for baking for all of us. Get the good stuff. Get the flour that's the best that we have and prepare it. That's a lot of dinner rolls. So Abram ran and he took a tender and a choice calf. He took the best that he had. because he's going to prepare it for you. That's what you do as a hospitable person. That's what you do to show your hospitality. You give your best. And he hurries to prepare it. And he took curds and milk, and that was a treat. Let me take a step back. The meat, the fact that he's killing a calf to share. They didn't have refrigerators, so what do you do with the leftovers? There was a lot of times that they wouldn't eat meat with a meal. Because it wasn't every day. I mean, depends on how many people you're serving. But you got no way to preserve and keep the leftovers. So the fact that he was killing the choice calf had extra meaning to it as well. That this was special. This wasn't an everyday occurrence. This wasn't an every meal occurrence. So he's got the best flour. He's got Sarah making some dinner rolls out of the best flour. The servant is preparing the best calf that he has. He's given him the curds and the milk. He places it before him, and then he stands under the tree as they ate. It didn't have a fancy dining room. And it doesn't even say if there was a table or not. There may have been a table. And I'm sure if they had, I don't think they had, you know, china. But if they did, they would have brought out their best. And Abraham doesn't presume to sit down and eat with them. He's standing there as a servant would. He's ready to meet their need. He's ready to go get something else if they need something, if they need some more meat or if they need another dinner roll. Because hopefully they're staying on the oven, you know, keeping them warm. That's their best that way. The butter melts quicker that way. He responds as being hospitable. He responds personally. He does it immediately and speedily with generosity. He's giving him the best. He's involving others. He's getting Sarah involved. He's not trying to do it all himself. He knows he can't do it all himself. So he's involving Sarah and at least one of those. I'm sure there was more than one servant involved in helping. But when we're hospitable, we need to use other people and their gifts. Again, you want her in the kitchen, not me. Okay? Use the gifts that you have. And Abraham was willing to be a servant to these three travelers that are coming through. Matthew chapter 25. Beginning in verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And He will put the sheep on His right and the goats on His left. And the King will say to those on His right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat, and I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in, naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer Him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the King will answer and say to them, "Truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." Began in Matthew reading several verses about the love of God and how we can show Him that we love Him by our obedience to Him. How can we show our love for one another? And the question frequently comes up. Well, we have a lot of older people, and I'll say anybody that's old is 63 and older, okay? Then us younger group, you know. There's a divide. And how do we bridge that gap? Don't raise any hands, okay? Don't answer this. This is a rhetorical question. But in your own heart, answer it. When is the last time, and you as an old person think younger, and you as the young people think of older, when is the last time you invited somebody over to your house for dinner from church? Has it been a month? Has it been this year? Has it been a few years? That's a great time to fellowship, folks. It's a great time to get together and break bread and share with one another. He says, truly I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me. We're to esteem others ahead of ourselves. We're to put others ahead of ourselves. And I know that we're not supposed to do this, but I know that we all do it because we're all human. We rack and stack people. We rack and stack people. Who's pretty, who's not? Who's got money, who doesn't? Who's funny, who's not? Who only wants to talk about themselves? Who's interested in what I have to say? Am I way off target here? We all do that, don't we? Rack and stack. Okay. I got to be careful here. I may be the only one that gets invited out to dinner. It says to do it to the least of these. Who in your rack and stack in this church is the least? You need to invite them over for dinner. You need to be hospitable. You need to love on them. And who knows? You may be their least too. Abraham was a hospitable man. He saw the need, he served it, he was swift, he was sacrificial, he was selfless, and no, I did not do that alliteration, somebody else did that. I am not an alliteration guy, but Hebrews 13, 1 and 2, I'm going to give you some verses just to jot down. We're not going to turn there for the sake of time. Hebrews 13, 1 and 2, some of you have entertained angels unaware. You guys may vote me out this afternoon after I tell you this, but there's a number of times when after I retired from the Air Force, I worked at Copper Country Mental Health, and I'd be driving up the hill to the house where I was working through Houghton, and I'd see somebody on the side. It might be really crummy weather. And the Holy Spirit was saying, John, give him a ride. Just pick him up and take him. So, you know, you might be a minute late for work, maybe not. And I was like, no, God, I got to get to work. And I'd go past and I'd look in the rearview mirror and there was nobody there. It happened more than once. You want to talk about conviction? When God tells you to do something, be obedient now. Do it now. Don't wait. I know you're all looking at me like, Pastor, you lost it. You're loony. You know. Maybe I am. I don't know. Maybe my eyes are just bad. That happened several times, actually. When God tells you, prompts you to do something, do it. Don't lollygag, don't diffy-daff, get off your duff in that tent and run and meet them and be hospitable to them. And I would love to hear in the next few weeks, all of a sudden, of everybody get invited over to other people's houses. Enjoying the fellowship with one another, because we serve the same God. Romans 12, write these down. Romans 12:13. 1 Peter 4:9-10. First Timothy 3:2 and Titus 1:8, specifically that the elders are to be hospitable. 3 John 5-8. If you love one another, we say that we love one another, do we? How do we show it? By doing that. Thank you, Aaron. By doing that, right there. Genesis 18. On to Sarah now. Verse 9. Then they said to him, "Where is Sarah, your wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, not they, he said, "I will surely return to you at this time next year, and behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent door which was behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. Sarah was past childbearing. Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have become old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said to Abraham, and this is Lord, all capital. It's not the same Lord as you see in verse 3 where Abraham ran out and said, "My Lord." That's little L-O-R-D. This is capitals L-O-R-D. The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I indeed bear a child when I am old? Is anything too difficult for the Lord? At the appointed time, I will return to you. At this time next year, Sarah shall have a son.' Sarah denied it, however, saying, 'I did not laugh,' for she was afraid. And he said, 'No, but you did laugh.'" The old adage, you know, you can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time. Can't ever fool God. You can't. He knows you too well. In the Far East, it wasn't proper for women to show themselves when there was company there, especially not if the guests were strangers or people you didn't know, but specifically men. So Sarah positions herself to where she can hear what they're talking about, said no woman ever. Sarah wanted to hear what they were talking about. She was eavesdropping. She said, "There ain't no way I'm having a kid. I'm almost 90 years old. I'm past childbearing. There's no way." In chapter 17, verse 17, Abraham's laughter was that of a joyful faith. But here in Sarah's laughter in verse 12 is a laughter of unbelief, a laughter of disbelief. "There's no way that this can happen," she says. "There's no way that it's going to happen." Romans chapter 4. Yep, Romans comes after Acts. Romans chapter 4, verse 13. "For the promise to Abraham or to his descendants that he would be the heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is nullified." Drop down to 17. "As it is written, 'The father of many nations have I made you,' in the sight of him who believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. In hope against hope, he believed in order that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. And without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully assured that what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Therefore also it was reckoned to him as righteousness. Not for his sake only was it written that it was reckoned to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be reckoned as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He who is delivered up because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. Abraham had the faith that God would do what he said he would do, and God did it. Sarah wasn't quite so sure. Write these verses down. Job 42:2. He can do, Job is talking, responding, and he says that God can do all things. Jeremiah 32:17 and verse 27. Luke 1:37. Ephesians 3:20-21. Turn with me to 2 Timothy. Chapter 2. Second Timothy 2:13. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Proverbs 16:2. God remains faithful no matter what. Whether we are faithful or not. If we are faithless, he remains faithful. Sarah was having a little struggle believing that he was going to do what he said he would do. Because physically in her mind it was impossible. Proverbs 16:2, all the ways of a man are clean in his own sight, but the Lord weighs the motives. When she laughed and then she tried to lie her way out of it, and that's what we normally do. We normally compound sin with sin, trying to get out of it, okay? Because we don't want to look bad. No, God, I didn't laugh. Yeah, you did. The Lord weighs our motives. Chapter 20 of Proverbs there. Verse 27, the spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the innermost parts of his being. And I couldn't end this, I mean, I couldn't preach the sermon without this verse, Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of the soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Again, we can fool some of the people all the time and all the people some of the time, but you're not going to get it past God. God knows us too well. He knows you too well. You can't hide that good stuff in your tent underneath that you took from the battle that you just won at Ai. Because God knows. Just as Abraham was faithful and hospitable and wanted to help meet the needs of his guests, and Sarah is going to disbelieve that God can do what he said he can do, as we read there in Romans, that Abraham believed that even though he was old and his wife was old and physically not able and in our understanding to have a child. Abraham knew that if God told him he was going to do it, he was going to do it. So a challenge to you, and I hope I hear good reports in the next couple of weeks. And you know what? Even if you can't bake dinner rolls, be hospitable. If you don't have a cow out back that you're going to go slaughter and put on the grill, be hospitable. Do you know? One of my favorite parts of the ministry, this is going to sound bad, is when one of you is having surgery. Because I get to go sit in the hospital with the person that brought you, a spouse, a friend, a neighbor, whoever. And sometimes it's an hour and a half, sometimes it's 6 hours. But I just enjoy that time. Because I get to know you better than I do just doing this. And saying, greeting you as you run out the door. Be hospitable to one another. I mean, I'm sure the hospital wouldn't mind if you went and sat in their waiting room, but you can do it in your own living room if you want, all right? Might be a little more comfortable. Love one another. Because you're going to get to know one another better if you have someone over for a meal. You'll find amazing stuff out that you'd never know otherwise. You'll find out how you can pray for them in needs in their family better than you know right now. Be hospitable to one another. Love one another. Because that is being obedient to what God commands us to do. It's not love one another when you get around to it or if you feel like it. Or if you're having a really good day and you got some extra energy, then you can share and love somebody else. He tells you to do it. Just do it. Love one another. Be hospitable to one another. That's my challenge. And if you're old, if you're over 63, invite somebody younger than 63, okay? If you're under 63, invite somebody over 63. Because that's what God tells us to do. Father, thank you for Abraham. Thank you for the example that he sets for us. That we should speedily be about our hospitality. That we need to put others before ourselves. And above all, Father, we need to put you before ourselves. Teach us, Lord. Teach us to love you. Teach us to be obedient. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand if